will, open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know, according to the dictionary, trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Our sermon today will derive from what the Proverbs writer did say, recorded in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, good relationships are built on trust, implying that it takes time to build. When we build something, it doesn't take a day, it doesn't take a week, it may take quite a long time. But that trust right there is what bonds these good relationships. Unfortunately, some people will easily put forth their trust on those others, and sometimes they get scammed. But even if we put our trust in someone that we've built long relationship with, even if the most trustworthy person, we put all of our trust to that person, sometimes even they will let us down, right? And not intentionally. Humans are human. You know, what do I mean by that? We make mistakes. Things happen. And we can break promises that we do not intend to break. I can tell you that tomorrow I can do such and such, and then something else comes up, and then what I said I would do, there's no ability. It happens. But with the Lord, that trust can be confident. And that's what I want to talk about today. And this sermon outline, if you look in your bulletin, it's there. And it says adapted by Brandon Greaves. That means I did not come up with it. Okay? This actually recently came up to me, and I thought, this is going to preach. So I took the skeleton of that outline and made it my own. And so we are going to discuss, and it's not listed in the book of Proverbs, but all over the New Testament, the five reasons why we can fully trust, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 teaches, in the Lord. And if you look at number one, his provisions are plenteous. We can trust in the Lord because his provisions are plenteous. If you look at Philippians 4:19, it says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, we've been studying Philippians and on the Wednesday night class. And in the context, if you remember, Paul is explaining to the saints in Philippi that their gift is being noticed by God. You see, they were supporting Paul during his earthly ministry, and we are told that they gave abundantly, and not only that, they gave cheerfully, and they were glad to do it. And what makes this so much stronger is knowing their condition as they gladly and cheerfully gave and supported Paul during his ministration. Paul told us, Corinthians in his second letter here in chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, how then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, look at this, their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. How can they do that? Beyond their power? It's really simple. Yes, it is a complicated thing, but it is so simple. Their trust was fully on the Lord. The Philippians were generous in their gift to Paul from their limited means, but how much more would God be generous to them from his unlimited source? They were limited, yes, but God is unlimited. You see, everything that we need will be supplied. In His Word, the Father tries to convince us that He loves us and that we can put all of our trust. Listen, trust is difficult. And if we relate that to our everyday lives and then we try to put our trust to the Lord, there's complications here. But we have to understand, we're not trusting a mere human being who's going to turn his back on us. As a matter of fact, we're the ones that turn our backs on Him. But He's trying to convince us all through this book, I'm here, and you can count on it. Listen, a couple of verses that support this. Psalm 37 and 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen, look at this, the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's always going to provide. It's plenteous. It's unlimited. Joshua 23 and 14, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Trust. We can trust in the Lord. He never fails. Yeah, what's in it for Him, really? What's in it for God to continue to provide for you and me? Well, it's pretty simple. When He provides for us, it proves His love toward us. And then we see that love and we are gaining the ability to trust in Him. And when we trust in Him, His provisions will give Him glory because we will respond accordingly. We can trust in the Lord. Why? His provisions are plenteous. Number two, His promises are present. His promises are present. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and read the first couple of verses in there. The first verse 2, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And this is what I want to focus on a little bit on this verse. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, I want us to look at that word knowledge. Because the original Greek word for knowledge, most of the time it's used in the Bible, is the word gnosis. But that's not this word here. This word is epignosis, which means it is knowledge towards something. And it's ever maturing. It's growing and growing and growing, but this kind of knowledge never matures completely. You know what I'm saying? Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We keep learning and more, growing and growing and growing, but we never, ever hit the peak. That's what this kind of knowledge is. The knowledge meant here is the gospel, of course, and the gospel is God's revealed knowledge. It is the power to save souls in the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Christ. And without this knowledge, no one could convert to Christ. Now, verse 3 of 2 Peter 1, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I want you to notice that. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Notice what Peter affirms here. God, by His divine power, has granted us what we need for what? For life and godliness. We are told in James 1 and 17, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. It comes from above. Everything that is connected to life and godliness has been given to all faithful Christians. Well, He's given us His inspired word. For what purpose? So that you and I could be complete in His sight, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He promised us that if we are doers of the word and not hearers only, we're going to be blessed in our deeds, right? James 1 and 25. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So using His divine power, God has granted unto us certain benefits. What are those? He grants us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He grants us these through the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ is the gospel. And this verse right here, it teaches, it affirms that by the gospel of Christ, we are giving exceeding great and precious promises. These great and precious promises, they surround us. All the blessings that are made available to the faithful in Christ. Spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and 3, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Notice where they are located. In heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We can trust in the Lord. Why? Because His promises are present. Number three, we can trust in the Lord because His pursuits are pure. His pursuits are pure. 2 Timothy 2 and 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul is directing Timothy here to run away. Not just walk away slowly, but run away from those lusts that could be appealing, that could pull you back. When somebody's chasing you and wanting to do harm from you, you don't just walk away from them. You flee. Same thing with here. Fleshly lust, war against the soul. 1 Peter 2:11. Pride, ambition, conceit, love of the praise of men. All these things. Now notice here in this verse what we should follow. Righteousness, right living, obedience to God's will, doing the best that we can to live up to His standard, Psalm 119, 172. Faith, which comes by learning God's Word or hearing God's Word. It stands under and it supports those things that we hope to obtain, Hebrews 11. You see, if our faith collapses, what happens to our hope? It will also collapse. Charity, love, it's not going to permit us to do evil things to other people. It's not just a mere emotion, friends. It's a way of life. Peace. If it's possible, live peacefully with all men, Romans 12 and 18. So to be one of them also that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, to call upon, same as to invoke His aid. To call upon the name of Christ our Lord is to invoke His aid as Christ, as the Messiah predicted by the prophets, and as our Almighty and our sovereign possessor and ruler. Calling on the name of the Lord is the same thing as what? Obeying His will. Acts 2:21. Acts 22 and 16, Romans 10 and 13. So trust the Lord by following what He wants us to follow. His pursuits are pure. And number four, His pardon is precious. That goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. 1 John 1 and 9. Brother Shane last week really did a great job, as he always does, bringing this out. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, a few things about this verse. The verb confess is present active subjunctive. Now, what does that mean? It just simply means that we keep on confessing out our sins. We keep on keeping on. Our confessions are to be made either publicly or privately, depending on the nature of the offense. And if we do that, God is faithful and just to forgive us. We must repent, confess, and ask for forgiveness. Friends, and if we do that, He's going to forgive us. Do you understand? Do we understand how precious that is? That's an amazing promise. And that is a wonderful reason to trust our Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Pardon is so precious. It gets us out of debt. That's what a pardon is, right? There's material debt. There's spiritual debt. And when God pardons, He forgets it. Isn't that wonderful? Hebrews 10, 16 and 17, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." How I wish that we as humans could learn to forget, right? It's much more difficult for us to forget those things that people have done to us, those evil things. It's always going to be in the back of our minds. We could trust in the Lord. What does that mean, being pardoned, being forgiven? It means that we have life. You know, there was a time in elementary school, I was a heathen in fourth grade. I don't need to say much more. But I remember a particular time that there was going to be a special movie day. And as students, we know what movie day is. Teachers, we know what movie days are like, right? How precious they are. Well, guess who misbehaved and guess who was left out of the movie day? Your preacher. That's a big deal to elementary school kids. I remember how the kids got to line up to go to the movie, and here I am. "No, sir, you sit there at your desk. We got to have a talk." And I remember how awful I felt being left out. That was bad. But you know what? I would hate to be left out of heaven. It's foolish to refuse to confess our faults. Why? Because it's going to leave us out of heaven. And if we refuse to confess our faults, that's just like saying, you know what? I don't trust Him. I don't trust in the Lord. When He sat there and told us, "You confess your faults, I will forgive you." Precious. And it's so difficult, yet so simple, right? I trust in the Lord because His pardon is precious. Number five, I trust in the Lord because His pattern is perfect. 1 Peter 2 and 21. I didn't change that verse there, but this is what it says. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." I really wish I had changed that, but I messed up. But it says here, "Christ also suffered for us, and when He did that, He left us an example that we should follow His footsteps." We should follow that pattern. You know, in the context here, Peter is reminding the saints that Christ left them as an example of suffering. Christian servants were at that time suffering at the hands of unjust masters, and they were facing persecution because of their faith. That word "example" there is the word hupogrammos. And it is a compound word, hupo meaning under and gramma to write. It literally means to write under. I learned that there was an old teaching method of penmanship that a teacher would give a sample on the top of the page, and it was up to the student to write down that sample and copy that sample. And as the student writes down each line, he must keep looking at that top example. See, the temptation there is just to look at the line above what I did previously. But what happens when we do that as students? As further down the page, we get less and less like the top line, like it was supposed to be. Similarly, we have to keep our eye on our perfect example, Christ. Or else, our reproduction of His lifestyle will not be what it ought to be. How do we apply that? Suffering for righteousness' sake is good. God does not bring suffering to us arbitrarily. But he turns that which is bad, that what we're suffering, into a blessing. It makes us stronger. The members of the church are drawn closer together. Love is strengthened. You see, the servant is not greater than the master. If my master suffered, how can I expect not to suffer? I can't. We can't expect an easy life, but we can expect this: bear our cross every day. You know, our sense of justice, when something wrong happens to us, we get an urge inside that we just want to strike back and retaliate, right? Because I've been wronged, and I want justice. Sometimes that's not going to be there. But our master suffered. We can suffer. And in order to accept that situation, what should we do? We have to trust in the Lord. That's what's going to allow us to do that. And we trust that in the end, He is going to make all things right. There's that verse again that we derived this sermon from. Trust in the Lord. Notice that next phrase. With all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And we can do that. Why? Because He provides for us and it's unlimited. And He keeps His promises. Man cannot do that 100% of the time. But He can. He always leads us in paths that are pure. And He said that He would pardon our sins if we confess our faults. His ways are always perfect. He gives us the great example. And if we trust in the Lord, we're going to do what He says, and we'll do what He says to become His child. He says, your faith is developed by hearing my word, Romans 10:17. Nothing magical will appear in front of your face. A lightning bolt will not hit you on the head. You will not get all of a sudden burst of a fuzzy feeling and then you're saved. That's not how it works. You read this word, and from that reading, your faith is developed. If you put it to practice, you'll see that. Believe it with all your heart, and if you do, it will lead you in the right way. It will please God, I guarantee you, Hebrews 11:6. And He says, repent. Repent from the worldly living and live for Him. Put off the old person. Confess. Matthew 10:32, whosoever confesses me before others, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And after that great confession, like the Ethiopian eunuch did, Acts chapter 8, be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It's how we call on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. It's how we put on Christ and get into Christ, Galatians 3:27, which we discussed earlier, is where all the spiritual blessings are, Ephesians 1:3. It is that which saves us, 1 Peter 3:21. It explicitly says that. Then live faithfully unto death. And as you live faithfully, you're putting your trust with all your heart into Him. Do you trust the Lord? Is there something in your life that needs to change? Do you need to become His child? He will always keep His promises and He will always be here no matter what. That's a master I can serve and follow with all my heart. How about you? Come forward as we stand and sing.